One through line that we've been talking about and with Yancey's research and teaching is the concept of transfer, of writing across context. She's been the voice in the field for teaching for transfer curriculum, which really explores how writing curriculum can be used to help students navigate new writing situations. And reflective practice, of course, is central to this work. Duane, community engagement and reflection has been again like the heart of your work for more than 5 decades, which is incredible. Can you spend some time talking more about how reflective practice and public-facing work that moves beyond academia, is essential to our field? Specifically, I'm sure you recall Kathy's established and curated the Museum of Everyday Writing. Will you talk about the importance of teaching writing in the community and the roles of transfer and reflection outside the university?
Yeah, that museum's really cool. A couple things. First of all, within the university, we should be helping students think about how they are transferring what they learn in our courses to the rest of life. I like to talk to students about, look at your life. You're going to be in formal education maybe 4 more years, and then you've got 4 or 5 decades of work ahead of you. And then you've got a decade or two or three after that where you're going to be acting in your community and also in your circle of friends and family. So it's important to think about how all of this works in your life outside the academy. But then for those of us who work in the academy, I like to think of it, and I just thought of think of it this way during our conversation. How can I be the Mr. Rogers of my community? How can I contribute to my community in the way that he did? So, and how can I specifically, as a scholar of writing, contribute to my community? And how can I do it in such a way that it's interesting and fulfilling? And why should I be doing this work? Well, the why is we are members of the community, and members of any community should be contributing to that community. And contrary to popular belief among some academics, there is life outside of the academy. And I have come to appreciate that very much. And if you read some of the surveys, the Pew data, for example, on public perceptions of higher education, it's not good. And so part of what each of us has to do, not just people in our field, but people in every field in the academy, we need to be out there sharing our skills and knowledge in ways so that people see, you know what, that university's got good people doing good work that benefits our community. And so I've had, and by the way, once you retire, as I have, there's more time to do this work. So, for example, we are in the 80th day of the year 2024, and I have done more than 80 workshops thus far out in the community. I've done them at libraries, at retirement communities, at history museums, at community centers, and my favorite venues are correctional facilities. I do a lot of work at the Women's Correctional Facility in Perryville, west suburb of Phoenix. I go there 6 times a month, and I go to the men's facility in Red Rock, which is south of Phoenix, once a month right now. I'd love to go more. And what I do is a lot of work with these populations, both incarcerated and non-incarcerated individuals, to write about life experiences, reflecting on life experiences, thinking about how we use language to get things done in the world. And as I do this work, first of all, I get to hear, we in the workshops, we talk about some questions that I pose for about 45 minutes. We write for about 15 minutes, and then we share what we've written. And so it can't get any better than that. I get to hear all these wonderful stories every time I do one of these workshops from people who are saying things where I think constantly, gee, I hadn't thought of it that way before. And so I'm having this opportunity to learn and learn and learn and hear great stories in the process. And then also, I want to mention some other work. And so what I want to say about that work is, for me, that's the work that I find most interesting, the most fulfilling, the most rewarding, the most enjoyable. And it may not be what everyone else on this screen even would find most enjoyable out in the community, But each of us has a responsibility as members of our communities to think about how can I engage with my community in ways that'll make a positive difference in the community while enjoying the work that I do. And then I also want to mention, I do a lot of work with the East Valley NAACP and community organizations such as the East Valley NAACP tell me all the time how important it is for academics to get involved in organizations outside of the academy, not just 4Cs and NCTE and CWPA, but organizations such as the NAACP and others. So I think it's important work. I think that if everybody engaged in it, we'd have such a much more wonderful world.
Yeah, Duane, I just want to say first, thank you, because I think you know that I learned how to do family history writing workshops, and the family history writing work, being your colleague at Arizona State, helping establish the Writing Recording Family History Project. And I say often when I go out into community environments, when I do this work, I was given a gift at such an early age in my life that most people don't get until they're after their age 60 and they have lost many people in their life they don't have access to. And so, as you know, recently, having lost a grandparent, I have this gift of her stories, right? I had the opportunity, because of the work we did, to be able to capture the narratives of how my grandparents met, about the things that were important and valuable to her as a woman. I didn't understand growing up what it meant to go to college to get an MRS instead of a BA or a BS. But I came to understand what that meant for my grandmother and her generation being raised by a feminist who wanted to do the labor that men did outside the infrastructures that were available to women. I get that differently because of this labor. And so I think a lot of times people think to themselves, I don't have time for. And I think all the time when I've gone to the prison or I've gone out to a family history or a retirement facility, I oftentimes think of all the unfinished work here on this desk, or the hours that we spend late at night at these desks to do the labor. But when you're in that moment, it is what you just said. It's the joy of being able to do what we do, free of any constraints of grading or of having to tell someone something silly is happening in the back of the room or whatnot. Or please log on, because it's 16 weeks and we haven't seen you yet in 16 weeks. So, you're not going to pass the class. It's 16 weeks. Come on, let's go. And we don't have to do any of that business. And so I think the reward of being in the community, I think of the work that we did around the role of the public intellect and the responsibility that we actually have of what it means for us to go out and do this labor. But it is a gift to us. It is a gift to ourselves, but this has been a gift to my family. My ability to understand how to do this labor, I have been able to give back to my family, but I also have been able to disrupt narratives about who's inside incarcerated spaces from having done that work for so long, right? Because people make false assumptions about people who are inside those spaces. And our job is also to be disruptive. So yeah. I think, if I can just join the chorus of what you've said, and that is, we all have to carve out time. And so what it looks like to do service work inside of our institutions, part of the community engaged institution means we serve the community in which we sit in, as you said. And it means that instead of, being on this committee here, and that's great, we all do need to be on the committee here. But, instead of doing that committee work, sometimes going over to, for a certain facility and being able to engage with writers and help them see that every person has the right to have access to an education. It is a basic human right, the WRITE. It is.
Yeah. And some people say, well, don't you ever engage in recreation? My work in the community is recreation.
And I think that we also have to remember that we are so skilled in two things, as administrators and as writing professors. And so I think about all the opportunities that we have to sort of communicate or to influence or to sort of work with people in that. And so, like your local schools, I think that's a big factor to consider. The public school work, like there's a lot of high schools that have little to no support in terms of their teacher professional development. And so just going in and thinking about that, I mean, little things like just acknowledging the work that they're doing, because of what they do, we can do what we do, and I don't think people get that sometimes. And I also think about like little things, like there's an African arts museum that is starting from the ground up, and just writing the pamphlet for them was fun because I'm learning and they just needed someone to do that, or working through grants for those things. You can find work in your community. And I think it's what keeps you, it keeps you connected and it keeps you sane, because institutions are institutions.
Yeah.
So you need to kind of remember that you need to check out every now and then in order to even be able to visit, you know, and even to be able to participate in a full way. So I am 100% behind the thoughts around that. And if you can't do it, if that's not your inclination, figure out ways to support your faculty who can, you know, and I think that's like 80% of it. It's like, if I can bring in money, you go out and do that. That's cool. Yeah. You know, but I do think that that connectedness is important, because otherwise we become so much of what's going on in our, in the higher education environment, that we lose ourselves. And once you've lost yourself, you can't wait till you retire to get it back. You've got to be pulling from it all along. You got to be feeding it all along.
All right, let's end our conversation here with this question. So one of the notes that Yancey left us to help us think more about was this: assuming X factor really is a thing in leadership and administration, how do we prepare for it and how do we sustain it? So let's end here, and maybe a couple of you or all of you can share briefly your thoughts to these questions.
I will just say very briefly, the most important thing is to listen to everybody with empathy and act on compassion.
I would say that we are the X factor. You know, everybody you encounter, every situation you are in, every opportunity you're presented with, every challenge, we are the X factor. How do we prepare for it? We just start to think about, we think about the situation, you know, how do we prepare for it? You prepare for it rhetorically, right? So I think we are the X factor.
I think the unexpected is the reality, and having a skill set, having these virtues to draw from, you know, transparency, reflexivity, compassion, inclusion, all the things that we've talked about today will help us know how to act in the moment, which is the chirotic moment that we, you know, call this discipline of rhetoric, or what defines this discipline.
One of the through lines I feel like I keep hearing is this idea of, it's a necessity. It's essential to be compassionate listeners and responders. That to me feels important in this X factor role. So how do we sustain that? And maybe we be mindful of the labor involved in this work, and to know that this isn't, that our work isn't just who we are. It's not just our identity, that our work hopefully transforms and transcends beyond the walls of academia, as Duane has mentioned and Sheila has mentioned. Our identity isn't defined just by this position as a WPA, that there's so much to learn and to gain from listening to other perspectives and experiences. And that seems to be a primary role of how we sustain this type of work. And then to follow up on that last conversation, that we have a social civic responsibility as teachers and educators, that this work isn't just in the classroom, that it extends beyond that, that it's public facing, right? That we have this social responsibility to engage in what writing is, what language is, who's included, who's excluded. We have that responsibility to foster those conversations beyond the walls of our classrooms. I think that's really important. I'm reminded of a mentor of mine who said, you know, if teachers are not the ones telling the stories that are happening in the classroom and that are happening in the programs, other people will tell those stories for us. And they'll probably be lawmakers and policymakers. So how important it is for our work to move beyond these walls. I think that's the sustainability. That's the sustainability of teaching writing, is whenever the teaching of writing doesn't happen just in the classroom. That's how we sustain this work ultimately.